Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yudalit. We're going to begin on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis with the Mishnah. Actually, I'm going to mention one vart from the end of yesterday's share. At the end of yesterday's share, we said it's appropriate for Chodesh Elul. Today is Rosh Chodesh Elul, and I'm dictating this. And the end of the Gemara from yesterday's share said that what should a person do in order to become a better person? So we had two opportunities or two suggestions, which yesterday I said were separate suggestions, which is a simple way to read this. The first one was that a person should be Yefashvesh B'maisov. He should go look at his past deeds and try to do tshuva on them. And then it said V'amilo. Another said Yemashvesh B'maisov. He should go look forward and try to do good things in the future and weigh out how important they are to do good deeds. So on the bottom, there was an aruch over here that we should mention as well. He says, Yemashmesh, that's not this V'amrile, it's two separate things. He says, no, first, Pirush, Yemashmesh Meikara. First, go and check out in the future what you should do. In other words, go and evaluate how important it is to do this, even though you're going to lose money or something. It's worthwhile to do the mitzvah, and likewise, Rechman al-Tzad, the pleasure you may get from doing an Avera, it's not worthwhile. But then, it says, if you do this, you'll be zor me hachet. You'll prevent yourself from doing a sin. However, if you failed, you did the sin. However, imchata, then yefash rechumayzav, v'yachso b'tshuva. Then, go and look at your actions and do tshuva on them. So the Aruch connects the two. Now we begin the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us hakorah. Until now, we've been speaking of the general idea of a korah. Today in the Mishnah, we're going to specify what exactly is this korah, this beam that you have to put across the horizontal aspect of the open area, the fourth wall of the mavoi. So what exactly is this korah that should be recognizable? The person shouldn't go and carry from this Rishus HaYochid Daraisa, this mavoi, into the Rishus HaRabim, and the rabbi said, you have to go put a beam there to make you allowed to carry within the mavoi. Now, HaKorah Sharmu, this Korah that we talked about until now in the Masechta, it has to be Rechova, this beam that you're putting horizontally has to be wide enough, Kedei LeKabel Oriach, to be able to hold an Oriach. We mentioned previously there's a Levena. A Levena is a regular brick that is 3 by 3 Tefachim. And then you have the Oriach, which is a half of a brick, which is a 3 by 1.5 Tefach brick. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. The Ariach is Chatzi Levena. The Ariach is half the size of this Levena. Shoshlosha Tvachim. And the Levena is 3 by 3. So the Ariach is going to be 1.5 by 3. And the Mishnah tells us, Daya Lekorosh Te Rechava Tefach. And in fact, the beam has to be able to hold up this Ariach, which has a width of 1.5. But the Korah itself only has to be 1 Tefach. The more or less the obvious question, if it's only 1 tefach, how's it going to hold up something that's 1.5 tefach? It's not going to fit well. The Gemara will ask that. So the Mishnah tells us, Daya LeKorah, the Korah is sufficient, Shetehei Rechava Tefach, only has to be a tefach wide. And that's good enough for it to be a Korah. Now, Kedei LeKabel Ariach LeRachbo, the reason why it's good when it's only 1 tefach for the Korah, because it can still accept on it a brick that's a 1.5 width brick, Lurachvo. Now, others have the Girso Liorko. They both mean the same thing. It means you put the longitudinal axis of the Korah parallel to the longitudinal axis of this Oriach. In other words, the long part of the brick is going in the long axis across the opening of the Mavoi. So you're going to have the Korah has a width that is 1 tefach, but the brick will have the width, the Ariach will have the breadth of 1.5 tefach, and you put this 1.5 tefach on top of a 1 tefach width, and that's acceptable. Again, the Gemara will say, but it's going to stick out a half a tefach, a quarter of a tefach on one side, and a quarter of a tefach on the other side. The Gemara will address that. Then the Mishnah says, Ruchava, it has to be wide enough, Kedei LeKabel Ariach, that was the criteria that we just said in the ratio of the Mishnah, but here it adds another criteria, has to be wide enough to have the Ariach on it, meaning at least 1 tefach in width to hold the 1.5 tefach riach, but also ubriya kedei lekabel riach. It has to be sturdy enough, strong enough, that it can actually hold the weight of this brick. It's a brick, so it has certain substance to it, so you can't have a flimsy korah. The korah has to be able to hold the weight. That's the opinion that we have first in the Mishnah. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda omer, rechava af bishein briya. Yeah, I agree with you with the width, the dimensions. It has to be at least a tefach, but it doesn't have to be sturdy enough. It may be a flimsy type of a korah. It doesn't require the strength to hold up the Ariach. It's still good as long as it has the right dimensions. That's Rav Yehuda's opinion, more Makel opinion. Then the Mishnah states, Haizu shel kas shel konim, if this korah was made up of kash, which is straw, or konim, or reeds, again, flimsier material. So, Rono saw, kiilu hi shel matechas. We view it halachically as if it was made out of steel, out of metal, and that would be able to support the ariach. So this is a continuation, according to Mos, of Rav Yehuda. And then more or less, what do you have to tell it to us? By the way, there are pictures of this throughout in the Pirush Chai on page number 28, where we start having this discussion about the Korah. And you can see this as well, starting on the illustrated Gemaras in diagram number 99, if this wasn't clear by saying it outside. Now, the Mishnah continues and it says, Akuma, if this Korah is bent, right? We had a Mavi Akum, or we have a Dofen Akuma and a Sukkah. So Rono so kiilu hi pshuta, we view it as if it's straight. You see diagrams of this and different types of thoughts of what akuma means in the Pirush Chai in diagram 173, where it basically is starting off on a higher wall and going down to the other side, lower on the wall. So it's at an angle. And you can see a diagram of this as well in the illustrated Gemara on page 34, diagram number 100. So that's an akuma. We view it as if it's straight. Even though it's on an angle, we view it as if it's straight. Furthermore, if it's agula, if you're dealing over here with a korah that is actually round, so ro no so ki iluhim rubas, we make this round korah, we square it. In other words, we chop off, so to say, the round part, and we hollow out a square from there. And in this way, we view the korah, even though it's circular, as if it was a one tefach width. In other words, the diameter of this circular korah has to be at least one tefach. And you can see this in the Pirush Chai in the diagram 172 or in the illustrated Gemara diagram 101. That's agula, roen oso kiluhi murubas. And finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, kol sheyesh bekeifu shlosha tefachim yesh borochav tefach. It tells us the basic principle of math, where we know that the diameter is related to the circumference. It's 2 pi r. And the definition for that is twice the radius, which means the diameter, times pi. We all know pi isn't a real number. It extends forever. And we translate it in math to 3.14. But the Gemara is going to even estimate that to just be 3. Obviously, we're going to talk more about this when we get to the Gemara. So it tells us over here that the circular dimension, kol sheyesh bekeifu shlosha tefachim, if the circumference is 3, so then it means the diameter is 1, yesh bo rochav tefach. That's our Mishnah. Now we have a whole beautiful shiur to discuss this Mishnah. Mara starts off with the obvious question that I mentioned. If you're telling me that the korah has to be a width of a tefach, so how can it hold a brick on it that's a tefach and a half? Tefach, tefach umatzuboy. You should have said that the korah, to hold up the brick perfectly, should have been a 1.5 tefach width. Why is it one acceptable with a 1 tefach width? So Mara gets the obvious teres. Keeping the roch of the kabel tefach, since it can easily hold a tefach's worth of the oriach, which is a tefach and a half, given the roch of the kabel tefach, you can easily put a tefach over the tefach, and that leaves either chatzi tefach, the other half of a tefach that's going to be sticking out, a quarter tefach on one side, a quarter tefach on the other side, that you can cement in. Melabein le betina. Go and fill that in with some sort of a cement, some sort of a clay, and you'll do a mashu mehaigisa, mashu mehaigisa. The quarter tefach that will be sticking out on the left, the quarter tefach will be sticking out on the right, you could cement it in, and in this way, v'kaima, it will stay there in its place. The Mefarshim discuss, do you actually have to cement it in or not? Some say you actually have to cement it in. Others say, no, you don't have to cement it in, as long as it could be cemented in, it's fine. Of a Rabbi Rav Huna said, Korah Shamru, that which we said, that you need a Korah, Tzrichosh Dehei Beriyah, Kedei Lekabel Ariyach. Rabbi Rav Huna said that you need to have it strong enough to be able to actually hold up the brick. Umamide Korah, but that's the Korah itself. But if the Korah is resting on some sort of a bar or a peg coming out of the wall, so it's not on the top of the wall, but it's resting on a peg within the wall, so those pegs within the wall that the Korah is resting on, Mamide Korah, Einan Tzrichin Shubriyin Kedei Lekabel Korah V'Riach, they don't have to be strong enough to hold up the brick. So, according to the Tanakhama, the Korah itself has to be strong enough to hold up the Ariach on top of it, but the supports of the Korah, they do not have to be strong enough to hold up the Ariach, as Rashi says over here, Eminicha Agabi Yisedus. You have these pegs coming out of the wall that are holding up the Korah. Those pegs in Srichashu Brian Lekabel Korah Voriach. They don't have to be strong enough to hold up the boat, the Korah, and the brick on top of the Korah. They also have to be strong enough, lekabel kor levat. As long as they can hold up the kor itself, they would be fine. The holo yavi oriachalo, because the brick is not going on top of them. The brick's going on top of the korah. Ubekorahu the inon kviyasto. The korah has to have a certain strength to it. Kihechid to have a heker ma'alya. The reason why the korah has to have substance to it is because it's serving as a recognition point that you'll say, oh, I can't go beyond this point because then I'm going to hit the Rishus Rabbim. So that has to have substance to it. Abo mamidah. But the pegs supporting it, lo tali yakei rabidito. Person's not really using them for anything, therefore they don't have to be as sturdy. That's the opinion of Rabba Barav Huna. Rav Chisda disagrees. Rav Chisda might know. Echazel echazel. He says not only the korah, but even these you say those. Even these pegs have to be strong enough. Both of them have to have this functionality. If you have the korah on the horizontal beam over the mavui, now you think you want to do it, make it even better. You want to really close in this mavui, so you put some sort of a mat. In other words, you put some sort of like a cloth over this beam, and it hangs down. You can see a beautiful picture of this in the Pirish Chai, diagram number 176. So you think you've actually made the wall, so to say, more substantive. So this fourth wall of the Mavoi now has a cloth hanging over the whole open space, not just the Korah. So it depends. This is a great idea, but not if you do it in the following way. If you put this Machatzelis over the Korah, so you drape it over the Korah, and now you have like a curtain sealing off the Mavoi. Depends. If the bottom of the curtain is going to be more than three tzvachim above the ground, and this is again the concept of lavud, gedi and bokinbo, the goats can get underneath it, so it's not considered connected to the ground, so then you've actually made it worse. So kore in kan, mechitz in kan. You ruined it. By the kore alone, you've been fine, but now by draping over this curtain, you've actually made it worse, because you no longer have a kore and you don't have a mechitza. Why don't you have a korah? Korah kan doha mixia, because you covered it up. So it's mechusa, and therefore you no longer have a korah. The korah serves as a reminder. If you can't see it, it can't serve as a reminder. Oh, well, at least I got the curtain. So mechitza in kan, I don't have a mechitza here as well. I don't have a wall here as well, because the havi lemechitza shagidi and bokimba, because this is a wall that is destroyed. If it's more than three tefachim above the ground, so the goats can go through it, as we said, and therefore it is not considered attached to the ground. And a hanging mechitza is not considered a good mechitza. So therefore, you've actually made it worse by putting this machatzeles on top of the korah. You don't have a korah, and you don't have a mechitza. Tanarabon, the Gemara continues and brings down the following braisa. Korah hayotza mikosel zeh. If you have the beam coming off from one wall, veinu nogas mikosel zeh, but it doesn't reach all the way to the other wall. It's somewhat short. It doesn't make it all the way. And this was a diagram that we had earlier in the Pirush Chai, diagram number 97. In other words, the korah doesn't reach across all the way. Alternatively, v'chein shnei koros, or you have two koros, achas yosef mikosel zeh, v'achas yosef mikosel zeh. Each side has a korah coming out of it. You can see this in diagram 177 in the Pirush Chai. And in this situation, also, v'einu nogas u'bezu, the two koros don't meet in the middle. They're short. They're lacking. So in other words, this korah doesn't go all the way across. Now, pachos mishlosha, if it's within three tvachim of either the wall in the first case or one korah to the other korah in the second case. So ein tzarech lavi korah cheres. Then you don't have to bring another korah. Because of the principle of lavud, we stretch it out and say that it's good. However, if there's a gap of shlosha, so then you have to bring another korah, tzarech lavi korah cheres, to fill in the gap. Rashi Gamliel throughout Shas has this shita, which we don't paskin like, but we have it throughout Shas, that lavud is not three, like the chachamim, like the way we paskin. Rashi Gamliel, Omer, we had this already previously, pachos midalit, he says lavud is four. So if they're within four tvachim of either the wall when you have a single korah, or the two korahs reach each other, but they don't fully reach each other, as long as they're within four tvachim of each other, ain't tzarech lavi korah cheres, we apply the principle of lavud, and you don't have to bring another korah. However, if it's more than four or more, arba, tzarech lavi korah cheres, then the principle of lavud doesn't apply, and you don't have the adequate korah, and you have to go bring another korah to fill in the gap. The Braisa says then, the chain beis koros hamasimos, if you have twin korahs, what does that mean? So you can see this in Pirush Chai in diagrams 178, 179, and 180, different ways of looking at this. In the Illustrated Gemara, you can have this in diagram 102. And it says, lo bazu kedei lekabel oriach, lo bazu kedei lekabel oriach. Let's assume that you're dealing with two parallel korahs. Each one of them is not a tefach. So they're too small on their own to be a korah. But when you combine the two of them, they are, in fact, going to be a tefach width when you count the space in between them. So in mekabelos oriach leroch bo tefach, if the dimensions are such that they're close enough to each other that they can hold the tefach of the oriach Again, the Riach was 1.5 Tefach, but they can basically hold the Riach. It won't fall down in between them. They're close enough to each other that they can hold the Ariach. Now, you have different ways of holding the Ariach. If you look in the Pirush Chai and in the Illustrated Gemara, the Pirush Chai diagram number 179, and in the Illustrated Gemara, this would be diagram number 34, you have it length to length. You have the long axis of the Ariach paralleling the long axis of the Korah. In the Art Scroll Gemara, however, they bring down the diagram in a different way. They have it going across the short axis. In any event, these are different halachic opinions, different Rishonim. So our Gemara tells us, Im kabelos ariach l'roch bo tefach, if it can hold between these two korahs, it can hold the ariach, so then, ein tzorch lavi korah charis, then you don't have to bring another korah to fill in the gap. But im lav, if it's unable to do so, in other words, it can't hold up the ariach, so then tzorch lavi korah charis, then you have to go bring another korah to fill in the gap. Again, the gap here is 3 tvachim. Lovud. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, in Mekabelos Ariach L'Arko Shlosha, he says, if you in fact can hold the Ariach across its length, Shlosha, so then, Ein Tzorch L'Vi Korach Eres, then you don't have to bring another Korah. And here, we see the Art School in diagram number 12, he's suggesting that if you have it in that orientation, then it would be fine. The Imlab, but if not, Tzorch L'Vi Korach Eres, then you do have to bring another Korah. So, we have here in the Braisa, it's telling us that if you have a sufficient number of Korahs, even if it's more than one, and they're small, but they can still hold the Ariach, we can combine them in the different ways we just discussed. Then, if they're not on the same plane, you have one higher than the other, again, you can see this in Pirush Chai, diagram 181, or in the Illustrated Gemara, diagram 103. Now, if you... you can also see this in the Art Scroll. They also have a diagram like this. So are you achas l'mal v'achas l'mat? The one is higher than the other in the plane that you're looking at it. One is elevated more than the other. One is, let's say, on top of the wall, and one is on pegs. So Rav Yosef Yehuda Omer, Rowan et Salyon Akili l'mata. We can combine them together. We lower the upper one, Rav Yosef Yehuda says, to make it on the same level as the lower one, or vice versa. Yes, tachton akili l'mala. And therefore, now, if you could put the Ariach on top of them, obviously, if they're at different heights, so then the Ariach will slide right off. But here, we view them halachically as if they're next to each other, and as long as if they were next to each other, they could hold it, that's adequate. However, Rav Yosef Yehuda adds one qualification. He says, the top one can't be more than 20 amma. Then we don't lower it automatically. Or vice versa, the bottom one can't be less than 10 tvachim, because then it's below the area of where the korah is allowed to be. So what Rav Yosef Yehuda is telling us is that both of these two korahs, even if they're not on the same level, both have to be kosher in their location. One cannot be above the 20 amma, which would be no good, and in another scenario, one can't be below 10 tvachim. Obviously, they're not talking about the same scenario where one is above 20 amma and the other one's below 10 tvachim, but when one is above 10 tvachim, one's a little below 10 tvachim, that's no good. Or one's 19.5 amma, the other one is 20.5 amma, so that's no good as well. That's what Rav Yosef Yehuda is telling us. Now, Rav Yehuda is his father, is a Tana of a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Abaye tells us, Rav Yosef Yehuda, Savala, Kavua B'chada, Upaligale B'chada. Rav Yosef Yehuda agrees with his father in one halacha and disagrees with his father in another halacha. As an aside, you see from here that if the son is competent, he's a big Talmud Chacham, he's allowed to disagree with his father. Well, in general, a person isn't supposed to disagree with his father. But in halacha, if a person reaching the level that he's a bar hachi, that he's capable of being a disputant, so then he's allowed to dispute his father. A person can likewise dispute his Rebbe. Once he reaches to a certain level, he's even allowed to have a different opinion than his Rebbe. In any event, Abaye tells us that Rav Yosef Yehuda agrees with his father in one din and disagrees with his father in one din. In what way? Savala kavua b'chada. Abaye says Rav Yosef Yehuda agrees with his father in regards to the din, this like Rowan. His father was the one that said Rowan. So we can view them as if they're together. So in that way, he agrees with his father. However, but he disagrees with his father in regards to the din of 20 amma, because we have the famous sheet in our Mishnah. The other Rav Yehuda, Savar L'malam, yes, Ramama is going to go and be able to be halachically acceptable. He doesn't hold that it has to be within 20 amma. He holds it can even be higher than 20 amma. But his son over here, Yosef Yehuda, clearly says, Sava besoch chof in, lemala michof lo. That if it's more than 20 amma, it's no good. It has to be within 20 amma. So he agrees with his father in part, and he disagrees with his father in part. Then the Gemara says, In our Mishnah, we said, Rav Yehuda Omer, Rechava Afa B'Yishenu Briya. We have the opinion of the Tanakhama that says it has to be not only wide enough to hold the Ariach, but also strong enough to hold the Ariach. And we brought down the more lenient opinion of Rav Yehuda that says, no, it just has to be wide enough, but it doesn't have to be strong enough. So where it says, wait a second, Masila Rav Yehuda, Lechia Bar Rav, Kamei Rav. So Rav Yehuda, now this is not Rabbi Yehuda, this is the Amora Rav Yehuda, said to Rav's son, Chia, and he said this in front of Rav. Rechava Afa P'Yishenu Briya. He learned the Mishnah with the gear so that we have it. That Rabbi Yehuda says that it has to be wide enough, but not strong enough to hold the Ariach. And when Rav heard this, he told him, no, you're learning it wrong. Amalei, Rav said, I have a different gear than you have in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, according to Rav Yehuda, said it doesn't have to be strong enough. But according to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, Amalei Yisnaya Rechava Ubria, he said it's just like the Kanakama. He didn't have this gear, so the Rabbi Yehuda said differently. He said Rabbi Yehuda also holds that it has to be wide enough and also strong enough. So there's no machlokis according to Rav. Mor says, wait a second, Bama Rabbi Loi, Amar Rav, but Rabbi Loi said the name of Rav, Rechava Arbo that if it's four tefachim wide, then clearly Rav said it doesn't have to be strong. So how can you tell me that Rav says that it must be strong? So Gemara says, no, it depends. If the Korah is four tefachim wide, so then it doesn't require the strength. It's so recognizable because it's four tefachim wide, it doesn't require the strength. But if it's not four tefachim wide, it's only one tefach wide, so then in order for it to be recognizable, it can't be flimsy, it has to be strong. Then the Mishnah quoted and said, and said if it was made out of straw or was made out of reeds, so then it is considered rowan. We also view it, like Rabbi Yehuda said, as if it is strong, like it was steel, but it doesn't have to be. So one says, what's the chiddush over here? Michael Mashalom, what are you trying to tell us over here? That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. So you're repeating it again, Damrin and rowan? You're telling me that this is rowan? We just said it. Hainuach. We already said it. He says it doesn't have to be bria. And now you gave me an example of what's not bria. I don't need that. Someone says, no, you do need it. Ma'al de temor b'mina amrinan. You know what I might have thought? That when it says that it is rowan, I might have said it only applies if in that min there is something that could hold it. As Rashi says, shirol gulios ba'oso hamin b'ria. If that type of a material has in it something that could normally hold up an ariach, so then even though this particular type of that material can't, it's good. For example, Rashi says, could go in korish leitz. You have a wooden beam. So, kiena bria, nami amrinan rowan, ki iluhi bria. When you have a wooden beam, so normally a wooden beam can easily hold up the brick, but this happens to be a very flimsy type of a wood, and it won't be able to hold it up. But that doesn't matter, because since there are wooden beams that can hold it up, so even this flimsy wooden beam can work. Then we say rowan. But I might have thought, aval shokash, shokonim, if you have straw or reeds, the ena bria bimina, that no straw or reed Korah could ever hold up any brick, so maybe aim in that situation. Lo amrinan rowan. Rashi says in that situation, I might have thought that we don't say rowan. Oh, that's the chiddush of the Gemara, kamash v'lon, that even in this situation, even if it's kash or konim, we do in fact still say rowan. And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, says, akuma rowan sokila hipshuta. We view if the Korah is bent in a certain way, so we said that we view it as if it's straightened out. So Gemara says, pshita, this is obviously true. Why would we think otherwise? So Gemara says, no, there's a big chiddush over here. Kamash v'lon, ki the Rebbe Zeira. Because there are certain things that Rebbe Zeira said, and you can see this in the diagrams in the art scroll, and also in the Pirush Chai in diagram 183 and 184, and in the illustrated Gemara in diagram number 104. What other examples Rebbe Zeira is talking about that are the chiddush from the Mishnah? The Amar Rebbe Zeira said, he besocha mavui. And most of the beam is in the mavi, but here the akmumisa, it's bent in a certain way. Not the bent that we talked about initially, that one end is higher than the other end and it's on an angle. Here we're talking about that there's a bend in the korah itself. So the korah has like a U-shaped outcropping in it. So if this U-shaped outcropping is chutz l'mavi, it's outside the mavi. That's where Zeru's Kiddush over here. So most of the beam is within the mavi. However, the akmumisa, the U-shaped outcropping is chutz l'mavi. For example, hibisoch esum, most of the korah is within 20 amah. Akmumisa l'mavi, but it's bent upwards, lamala mi esrim. It goes higher than esrim. So then part of it is outside the esrim. Or he lamala mi esor, the most of the beam is above 10 tefachim, but the U-shaped part is lamata mi esor, is lower than 10 tefachim. So part of it is outside it. So in this situation, when Zera says, Rowan, we view it, kol shi ilu yinot alak mumise, if you took out this U-shaped bend, and you halachically viewed the two remaining pieces, if they're within three tefachim of each other, they main zeh lezeh shlosha tefachim. If there is a space that's less than three tefachim between them, so then we apply the principle of lavud and ein sarach lavi kara acheres. You don't have to bring another kara. However, v'imlav, but if there isn't only three tefachim, less than three tefachim, there's more than three or more tefachim, then you have to bring another beam, sarach lavi kara acheres, because the bent part is not a good beam. It's outside the acceptable area of the mabud. Where it says, "Bahanami pshita." Again, this is the rule of love, and you already taught it to us. Why would I need to teach it to me again? So, no. The Gemara says, "Rezeris chiddush" is as follows: He besoch mavoi vakumise chutz lemavoi. When you have this bend that is outside the mavoi, I would have thought that it's no good, even with the principle of love. It's trichla. You need it. Why do you need it? Because I might have said, "Ma'od detema lechush dilma osi leamshuche basra." Because I would have said the whole idea of the mavoi to have a korah to be maturated is because it's a hecker, it's recognizable. But here the bend goes outside. So for example, if the bend goes outside into Rishus HaRabim, I might have thought I can follow the bend and carry even outside into the area under the bend, in the Rishus HaRabim. So Kamash Vulan, that's the Chiddush Rezera that you might have thought that therefore it should be no good. The rabbis would say, no, that's no good. Kamash Vulan, no. As long as the principle of love applies, we don't concern ourselves that maybe you'll carry underneath this bend. And in fact, this is still an acceptable korah. Mishnah is quoted as saying, Agulin rona sokilu himirubas. If you have a circular korah, cylinder type of a korah, so we basically make a square inside of it, and if there is a adequate width, a diameter over here of the circle, then it would be a korah that would be a one tefach wide beam, so then it's good. So it says, Hasu lomali, why do you have to tell me this? What new chiddush is provided by telling me that the circular beam can be viewed as a regular straight beam? It's obvious. Why would we think otherwise? So the Gemara says, no, Seifut Strichle, we need it for the next part. What was the next part of the Mishnah? Where it said, Kol Sheyesh Be'a Keful Gimel Tefachim Yesh Bo Rochav Tefach. It wanted to teach us this idea that the circumference is three times the diameter. Again, the normal formula for circumference is 2 pi r. 2 times the radius, which is the diameter, so that's one diameter, times pi, which is 3.14, etc. And the Gemara rounds it off to 3. Where it says, Minohani Mili, what source do we have for this? Is there a Tanakh source? Now, obviously, this is practical math. So they're not saying if we didn't have a source for this, this wouldn't be true. But there's usually going to be a source in Tanakh for these types of things. And some suggest, where do we find the source in Tanakh that you can round it off? Obviously, the number for pi is a non-real number, and you're going to have to carry it out to infinity decimal places. And therefore, where do we see a source in Tanakh that you could round it off? That's really what the Gemara is asking. You know, Hani Mili, how do we know this? So I'm Rav Yochanan, I'm Akra, because we have a pasuk that tells us Shlomo HaMelech in the terms of building of the Beis HaMikdash. So in Melachim Aleph, he tells us Vayas Es Hayom, Shlomo HaMelech made the Yom. The Yom was a big basin, a big mikvah. Mutzak, he made it out of metal. So therefore, we see that Shlomo HaMelech built this structure, and how big was it? Eser ba'amah, it was a diameter of 10 amas. It was a circular structure, as we'll see. So it was a diameter of 10 amas. Misifoso, atsifoso, from one lip to the other lip. In other words, it was a 10 amas diameter right through the middle of the pool. Ogul soviv, and it was round. The whole thing was circular. How high was it? V'chamesh ba'amah komaso, it was a 10 diameter, 5 amas high, circular structure. V'kav shloshim ba'amah. And if you did the circumference of it, you'd have 30 amma. Again, this is the source, that if you have a 10 amma diameter, so the circumference is going to be 3 times the diameter, 2 pi r. And therefore, yosav oso soviv. So it's telling us the circumference is 30. This is the Tanakh source that we have for the fact that a circumference 3 will be 3 times the diameter of the diameter 1, a 1 to 3 ratio. Where it says, but that doesn't include the lip, for ikos vaso. So this isn't right. When we're taking the circumference, we're assuming it's the circumference on the outside, but there's some substance to the wall. So if the diameter is 10, that includes little pieces of the wall, so that means the circumference, when we say it's 30, is going to be a different ratio than 3 to 1, because you're not taking into account the lip. So Gemara says, I'm a papa. The papa says, no. Svaso, the lip, was svas perach shoshon, ksibbe. It says that the lip was very thin, like a flower. A perach shoshon is a lily. So it was very, very thin, the lip. So it tapered up. It started off very thick at the bottom, but when it came to the top, when they did the circumference, it tapered up and was very thin. As the ksib, the pasuk says, v'ovyo tefach, the thickness of the of this yam that Shlomo HaMelech had made, this big, big mikveh that Shlomo HaMelech had made, was a tefach chit. But usvaso at the top, kemaise svas kos perach shosha. It was very thin at the top. So again, it tapered upwards, and it was thick at the bottom and very thin at the top. So this minimal amount of shear at the top, we want to say, let's ignore it. And by the way, this will come in important later on. I'm not sure why this is mentioned over here. The pasuk says, alpayim bas yochil, that the entire amount of water that was able to be enclosed in this structure, this yam that Shlomo HaMelech made, was alpayim bas. A bas is 3 saw, as we'll learn, and therefore it's 2,000 times 3 saw. That's a total of 6,000 saw. And as we will see, this is important to know how many mikvahs, so to say, were able to be contained within this as we go through further odd dimensions. Shmuel says, okay, you still have a little lip. Granted, it's tapered and it's very thin. Voyika mashu. Whatever it is, it's a mashu, and that's going to throw off your 3-to-1 ratio. So Gemara says, no. Ki kachoshiv migavoy kachoshiv. When we said the diameter, we weren't talking about the outer point, going from the outer lip across the middle of the pool to the other outer lip. We're going from the inner lip to the inner lip. So the diameter there is exactly 10, and then the circumference was taken on the inside, so it's exactly a 3-to-1 ratio. Again, it's not really 3-to-1 because pi is 3.14, etc., but this is the source that we have in Tanakh that you can round it off. Now we're going to go dash in some numbers over here, and we're going to get to the conclusion how many mikvahs were able to be, so to say, put in here. A mikvah is 40 saw, and right away we can see if there's 6,000 saw, so just 40 into 6,000, it's going to be 150. That's very, very easy, but the Gemara is going to go through a little bit more complicated calculation to show that there are 150 mikvahs worth of fluid inside this big yam that Shlomo HaMelech made. Tanya Ruchia, Ruchia learned in the Braisa the following. Others of the Gersa, Tani Ruchia, the Ruchia learned the following. In any event, we have the following Braisa. Yom Sha'asa Shlomo, this basin, this big structure that Shlomo HaMelech made, it was able to hold 150 mikveh. Again, the simple math that I just did is the easiest way to figure it out. We just said it holds 2,000 bas. A bas is 3 saw, so 2,000 times 3 saw is 6,000 saw. And if a mikveh is 40 saw, so 40 into 6,000 goes 150 times. That's the simplest way to go figure this out. Mikveh over here of Shlomo HaMelech had 150 mikvahs inside it. This yam of Shlomo HaMelech had 150 mikvahs. The Gemara is now going to darshan it out in different ways of calculating, and again, it's going to come to the same simple conclusion, just the Gemara goes through this different set of calculations. Michte, the Gemara is going to say, mikvah kamahavi, how much water is in a mikvah? So the answer is arba'a masah. This halacha l'moshe misina, that it's arba'a masah, and this is based upon the fact that it holds the amount of water that a person can stand in. A person's height without his head is 3 amma tall. Again, if you say an amma is roughly 1.5 feet, so then it makes it about 4.5 feet. Then when he stands in this structure that's amma wide and amma long and 3 amma tall, his whole body will be in it, and the water will then rise above his head, and this is Mishayer over here to be 40 saw. And this is based upon the pasuk Digitanya. Now, I'm not sure why, but every time the Gemara has this throughout Shas, it always quotes the wrong pasuk, and it's always corrected. And instead of saying the Rachatz es Bisaroba Mayim, which is the pasuk that we have, it should be the Rachatz Bamayim es Kol Bisaro. That's the right pasuk. We actually had this earlier in the Masechta, and we have this in many places in Shas. It's always quoting this pasuk, V'rachatz b'mayim es kol b'saro. We turn to the Amud Beis. B'mayim says the bay mikvah. We learn out that you have to be totally immersed in the mikvah. And kol b'saro means mayim shekol gufa ola behen, that you have to have a mikvah that can hold your entire body in it. That's the size of a mikvah. V'kamahein, and how much is this? So we learn out amma al amma. The length and width is 1 amma of this cubic type of a structure, but it's 3 amma tall. So that will displace a certain amount of water that can totally cover up your average size person. The Shira Chachamim, and the Chachamim said that this amount, the Kamahein Amma Lama Barom Shlosh Amos, is the Shira Chachamim May Mikvah Arboim Saw. They had this, and this is a Halacha L'Moshe Misina, this is a Kabbalah that we have that this is 40 saw. Now, Kama Havu Lahu. How big was this yam that Shlomo HaMelech made that we're going to get this amount, 150 mikvahs, through this other methodology of learning it? So if we assume that it was square, which right now we're assuming it was square, we'll ultimately say that it wasn't all square. If it was square, so we know that the length and width is each 10 amma, because we just said that it's circular, so the circumference is going to be three times this diameter of 10, but right now we're working with assuming that it's square. So that means it would be a perfect square, would be 10 by 10, and that would be the length and the width, and the height is 5. So 10 times 10 is 100 amma, and then if it's going up 5 ammas, you're going to multiply that by 5, so the entire amount is going to be 500 square amos. Now, the Gemara often breaks it down in the following fashion to make it easier to understand. This chomesh mea gamidi, this 500 square amos, if you break it down, l'tlos mea, if you take 300 of those 500, because 300 is a real easy number to work with when you're dealing with a 3 by 1 by 1 area, and that's one mikvah, so 3 into 300 goes 100 times. So for this 300, l'tlos mea, you're going to have mea, you're going to have 100 mikvahs. Now, that takes up 300 of the 500. Then, if you have l'mea v'chamishin, if you have another 150, so that's easily divided by 3, that breaks into chamishin, another 50 mikvahs. So, if we just did this simple calculation, from 450 of the 500, we'd already have our 150 mikvahs. So, ba'arba mea v'chamishin sagya. So, we would only need to go and take 450 square cubic amos, in order for us to go and fill in this 150 mikvahs. So what do we do with the extra 50 cubic amas over here? It's unnecessary. So when it says, Hani mili b'rivua, that's assuming that this would be a perfect square. But yesh yamsha osa shlomo ogul hoya. But this was a circular structure. So if it was a square, you're right, you'd only need to make 150 mikvahs for 450 cubic amas. But in this situation, if it's circular, you need more. So the Gemara says, let's figure that out. Michte, take a look. Kama meruba yosar al eagle. If you have a square around the circle, it's going to be a ratio of 4 to 3. So it's revia, it's a fourth more. So if you're dealing over here with 500, you're actually going to now have 375, because that's the ratio when you make a square into a circle inscribed inside of it. So now let's go through the calculations again. You have 375. Let's work with 300 of it. So that was that originally that was 400 that got knocked down to 300. Again, we're taking the 500, knocking down to 375. But let's work with the original 400 of the 500 and knock that down to 300. So la arba mea, the original 400, we knock it down by a fourth. So that knocks it down to 300. So 300 has 100 mikvahs mea. So therefore, of the 375, we've used up 300 to make 100 mikvahs. Of the remaining original 100 extra, that gets knocked down to 75. So that's easy. Divide 75 by 3, you get 25. Lamea, of the remaining 100, which is really 75, you get Esrim Chamisha. So if we just knock down the 500 to 375 by making that the square and the circle inscribed inside of it, we went from 500 to 375, and in 375, in the 300, you have 100, and the 75, you have 25, that only comes up to Hani Mea V'esim V'chamish Avlu. We only have 125 mikvahs if we make this perfect square into a cube, into a circle. So instead of us having a large amount, we now have two small. We only have 125 mikvahs if the whole thing was circular. So Gemara says, Tani Rami Rechesko, Rami Rechesko says, Yom Shosu Shlomo, this big basin, this big mikvah that Shlomo Melech made, this yam, was in fact partially square and then circular on the top. Sholosh Amos Tachtonos Merubos, the bottom three amos of height, so they are squared. And then on top of that, you have a circle, the top two amos, Ushtaimo Yonos Agulos. So you have basically a square that is 10 by 10 with three amma height. And then on top of that, you have a circle, which will be 2 amma height, but it will be a diameter of 10, so it's going to be inscribed within this square, but with a diameter of 10, the circle. So that's the structure. Now, go calculate it out. The bottom 3 amma, which will be 3 times 100 is 300, that's 100 mikvahs. So that's easy, the bottom. The top 2, so that's going to be an area that is 2 tall with 10 wide, so that's going to be 200. That's if it was square. Since you have to decrease it by a fourth, it's only 150. Now it's 150, divide by 3, and you get 50. That's the other 50 mikvahs. So you have a total of 150 mikvahs. We have the structure that is square for the bottom 3 and circular for the top 2. Oh, everything worked out. And now the Gemara adds, need the ifchalomotzasamis. You couldn't have made the circular part on the bottom and the square part on the top, because the pasuk says this fasso or golksib. The pasuk says that the circular part at the top has to be round. Fine. Elay mechada. But why did you do 3 and 2? Maybe say that it was 4 and 1. Why did you make it 3 and 2? So Gemara says, lo sokadaktach, it couldn't be, because dechsiv, because we know the total is, and that's what we have from the pasuk before, dechsiv, apayim bas yochil, because we know the whole thing held 2,000 bas, and bas kamahavya, as we already pointed out, how much is a bas? A bas is shlosha sa'in. So it's 3 sa'in in a bas, and there's 2,000, that's a total of 6,000. Therefore, dechsiv, and we know that a bas is 3 sa'in, because dechsiv, ma'isar a bas, in a car, a 1/10 amount of a core, which is 30 saw, is a bas. So therefore, 1/10 of 30 is 3. A bas is 3. The havalushisa alfe grive. And therefore, the whole thing, which is 2,000 times 3, is 6,000, which, if you divide that up into mikvahs at 40 saw, 40 into 6,000 goes 150 times. Therefore, our calculation is correct. Now, the only problem the Gemara says is that elsewhere it says a different dimension for how much this Yam Shel Shlomo is able to hold. That's why, the way, the Marshal, that's where he gets his name, this Yam Shel Shlomo. This is the big basin, the big mikvah of Shlomo Melech. In any event, V'achsiv, Machzik Batim Shloshes Alofim. Elsewhere it says, and it can hold shloshes alafim, 3,000 bas. Now, that's a different dimension. 3,000 bas would be 9,000, not 6,000. So what's going on? We seem to have a contradiction in the melachim, in the different psukim in melachim. So Gemara says, no, one is dealing with liquid measures and one is dealing with solid measures. And what he's teaching us is hahu legucha. If you have a liquid measure, so you obviously can't heap it up. Maybe you go a little bit on the limit because of viscosity, but it's going to flow over. But if you're dealing with a solid, you can have what's called a level amount, and then you could heap it up. And what he's telling us here is the ratio of the heaped up is a additional 50%. So it's 6,000 it could hold if it was flat, which means it can hold 9,000 if it's heaped up. If it's level, it's 6,000. If it's heaped up, it's 9,000. And that's this godesh, this heaped up part. And that's the chiddush in these two psukim. One is telling us flat level, and the other is telling us heaped up. Amar Abayi, Shmami no hay gucho til sahabe. This is the ratio that we can see, that when you heap something up, it adds 50% more, which is a third more of the total. So a third more, this extra 3,000 is 1/3 of the total, 9,000. That's where we get this number from. Utna nami, we learned in a Mishnah this same exact idea in another aspect. So it says, she the table migdol, if you have various types of containers that we'll see are very large, so they no longer are qualified as a kli. So these various types of chests or big towers type structures that are above a certain measurement, or kaveris hakash, or if you have a very, very large basket made out of straw. Kaveris is literally a beehive, but it's a certain type of a basket. The kaveris hakonim, or you have a wicker type of basket made out of these reeds. Upor sfino alexandris, or if you have a big reservoir inside a certain type of a boat known as this Sfina Alexandris, and they used to store water in it, fresh water. So these are all very large structures. So afapi sheish lem shulayim, even though these are kalim and they have a base kibble and they hold something, so one might have thought that they could be makabel tuma as a kliz makabel tuma. But since the hay machzikin arboim saw belach, since they can hold 40 saw worth of a liquid, which, and here's where we have this purpose of this, shein kurayim biyavish, which can hold a larger amount. Kurayim, again, is a core, is 30 saw. Kurayim is 2 core, so it's 60 saw. So if something was solid, it can hold 40 when it's level, and it can hold an extra 50%, 1/3 of the total more. It can hold 60. Again, 20 more is 20 is 1/3 of 60. That's the extra 50% on top. So in all of these situations, so this is a din in regards to Tumah V'Tara, so they're no longer called Kalim. They're considered basically attached to the ground because they're not able to be moved. Mali V'Rekun. Rashi tells us that the definition of a Kalim, it has to be like a sock, that it can be moved. Mali V'Rekun. The Ein Taras Kli Aleihem Shahari Einon Mutolin Mali V'Rekun. And therefore, these things cannot be Makabel Tumah, and they're Tahorim. But the point of bringing this into us wasn't for the din of Tumah V'Tara, was again to show us this idea that this Gucha, this heaping overflow, is 50% more. So again, that becomes 1/3 of the total, of the new total. In our case, the 40 to 60, or in the case of 6,000 to 9,000, it's 50% more. Or if you look at it from the total point of view, 3,000 is 1/3 of 9,000, or 20 is 1/3 of 60. And that is this ratio, and that is this mathematical discussion that we now conclude. Now we go on to the next Mishnah.
Mishnah says, we just talked about the Korah in the first Mishnah today, so now we talk about the Lechi. So, the Lechi that we spoke about, to be Matir, a Mavui, it has to have a certain dimension to it. Govon Asar Tvachim, it has to be 10 Tvachim tall. The Rochbon, and its width, Ovion Koshu. Its length and width, however, its thickness, has to be any amount. In other words, there is no shear. Rav Yossi disagrees, and we had this previously. Rav Yossi Omer, Rochbon Gimel Tvachim. He says the Lechi also has to be 3 Tvachim. It has to be more substantive. It can't just be a mashu. It can't just be a pole, a stick. Where it starts off and says, why did we use the term Lechoyin over here? We didn't use the singular Lechi. Lechoyin Sha'amru V'chule. Our Mishnah said the plural formulation. Why? So Gemara says, maybe Lemo Tanan Stoma K'Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe our Mishnah is trying to tell us that the Stam Mishnah that we have over here without attribution is therefore in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who already previously we learned required Daman Lechion Binan. It's not enough to have a Mavui matted with either a Lechi or a Korah. He required 2 Lechis. So maybe our Mishnah, by being a Stam Mishnah, is trying to tell us that that's not Lacha. Gemara says, no, absolutely not. Lo. Why does our Mishnah use the terminology lechion? My lechion. So it's lechoyin, the alma. It's telling us over here, in general, the way to be mater, a mavi, is by using lechis in the plural, but not any individual mavi requiring more than one lechi. Mavuis in general, plural in general, require lechis, plural in general, but each individual mavi only requires one lechi. Where it says, okay, I can accept that, but then, how come the previous Mishnah didn't say, koros, ihachi, so korinami, nisne koros. So then, if you want to be consistent, then the previous Mishnah should have talked about all the mavuis can be matered with koros, because each individual mavui requires a korah. So, if you want to be consistent, either use lechi and korah, or use koros and lechyon. Why did we separate it out? And here in our Mishnah use plural, and the previous Mishnah used singular. That's the worst question. So korinami, nisne koros. Umay koros, koros bialma. And say that it means in general. But we didn't do that. So the word says, you're right. Hachi kamar. That's not really the reason. Why do we on our Mishnah use plural here? Because it's telling us this is the machlokis. Otsa lechion. These lechis. Shenechluku ben Rabbi Elez v'chachamim. Where the chachamim say you only need one. And Rabbi Elez says you need 2. That machlokis regarding lechis. So here, govon asar tvachim. It has to have a height of 10 tvachim, and the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says, v'rochvon v'obion koshu, and it only requires a mashu, a small amount, for its length and width, for its thickness. The height has to be 10 tvachim, but the substance of the pole, or the lechi, is very, very small. So the Gemara says, how small is small? Nekama koshu. Do you really mean anything? So Tony Ruchias. Ruchias learned in the Braisa, afilu kechut hasarbol. Even like the drawstring of a certain garment known as a sarbol. The Rabbeinu Chananel over here says, afilu kechut hasarbol. What does that mean? Pirush, chut hasarbol. This drawstring of this garment, this cloak, is chut chazok. It's a strong type of a string, kofel, that is twisted, doubled over, shetofrin bo hasarbo, and that seals off, it ties off, it sews off this cloak. So in any event, it's not zero, it can't be something that's minuscule, but it's very, very small, a very small amount, kechud hasarbo. So a string would be adequate. Nadigmor says, Tono, also lechi, lechatzi mavui. The Braisa tells us that if you made a lechi, it didn't go all the way out to the end of the mavui, and you can see pictures of this in the Pirush Chai, and the Illustrated Gemara as well. If it doesn't go all the way out to the end of the lechi, to the end of the mavui, but it stops, you put it in the middle of the mavui, so then what's the din? The Braisa says, Englo elo chatzi mavui. Then you're only allowed to carry in half of the mavui. You can't carry in the half beyond the lechi, you can only carry in the half before the lechi. Gemara says, duh, pshita, obviously, why would I think you could carry outside the lechi? Gemara says, you're right, that's not what it really is saying. Ela ema, what the Brice is really saying is not, ein lo elechatzi mavui, it's not telling us that you only can carry in half the mavui, but it's telling us that you can carry in half the mavui. Ela ema, yesh lechatzi mavui. The chiddush is that you can carry in the first part of the mavui, albeit, of course you can carry in the second part of the mavui. Gemara says, oh, nami pshita, that's also obvious, why would I think otherwise? Gemara says, no, you would think otherwise. Ma'adatema, I might have thought that the rabbis instituted a restriction over here. Leichosh, they should have said, if we put the lechi in the middle of the mavui, so you're going to think you can carry in the whole mavui, maybe. You're going to make a mistake. Leichosh, duma osi lishtamushe bekule. The person can say, well, I can carry here, so of course I can carry there too, as long as I don't go to Rosh Hashanah. But no, the rabbi said you can only carry until the lechi. So you might have thought, because of this concern, the rabbis would say, unless you put the lechi at the end, even though you could carry from the inner point from the lechi, where it is, inside the mavui, maybe the rabbis made an example that you can. Now, the tema, leichosh, duma osi lishtamushe bekule, that you may come to use the whole mavui if we allow you to use half the mavui, so therefore you can't use even the half the mavui. Kamash v'lon, the chiddush of the price says no, the rabbis didn't make such an additional restriction, and even though you put the lechi in the middle of the mavui, you still are allowed to use the first half of the mavui. Of course you can't use the second half of the mavui. Amar Rava, Rava tells us the following din, also lechi l'mavui, if you make the lechi for the mavui, v'higbia min hakarka shlosha, but the lechi is not on the ground. It's more than three tvachim above the ground. It's three or more tvachim above the ground, so you don't have lavud, so then it's no good. Or alternatively, oshif ligo min hakoso shlosha, or alternatively, if it's further than three tvachim from the kosel, three or more tvachim from the kosel is also not lavud, and therefore it's not a valid lechi. Rava is telling us, lo osa v'lo klum. This structure that looks like a lechi is not a lechi. It's not a valid lechi if it's more than three or more tvachim above the ground, or three or more tvachim away from the wall. The lechi has to be within three tvachim of the ground and within three tvachim of the wall. That's what Rabbi tells us. Furthermore, he says, afilu l'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Again, we had this today. We had this many times. The basic din of lavud is three tvachim. That's the opinion of Chacham, that's how we pass it. But there's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that it's four tvachim. So Rav is telling us, don't think that this din changes over here according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and you can extend it out four tvachim. He says, no, even according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds the Amar Amin and Lavud for even up to four tvachim. So nevertheless, even according to him, he says this din applies only Hani Mili Lamala. That's when we have something high above, it's allowed to be high above, then we say four. However, Avo Lamata, when it must be connected to the ground, so then Kivan the Havya Machitza Shagidi and Bokimba, he agrees with the concept of Gidi and Bokimba, that the Gidi, the little goats, they can break through this theoretical wall that you have here. So on the bottom, he also agrees Lavud is three. It's only in top areas and other areas where you don't have the concept of Gidi and Bokimbo that he says it's four. But even Rosh Shimon Gamliel agrees that when you're dealing from the bottom, if you put this lechi, more than three tvachim from the bottom, three or more tvachim from the bottom, even Rosh Shimon Gamliel would say that that's no good. That's Rava's Chiddush over here. The Gemara continues and says, Rav Yossi Omer Rochbun Gimel Tvachim. We quote the Mishnah where he said that Rav Yossi disagrees with the Tanakama, and he says that if it is a lechi, it must be at least three tefach wide. I'm Rav Yosef. I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmur. Rav Yosef said, in the name of Yehuda Mishmur, ain halacha Rav Yosef. He said the halacha is not like Rav Yosef in two places. Over here, lo behilmi, the lo belechyan. Not in the case of hilmi, nor in the case here of lechi. The case of lechi is obvious over here, that we say that lechi can be even a mashu in terms of its length and width. But the case of hilmi is in regards to preparing something called brine. Rashi reminds us of this. We had this in the Gemara in Shabbos, that you're not allowed to make this on Shabbos because it's a concern that if you go and use this pickling substance, this brine, that it may come to look like you're preparing something to tan a hide, which of course, ibud, which is an av malacha, and therefore a person might mistakenly think that you're allowed to do that. So therefore, you're not allowed to make this hilmi, this type of a brine. So that's what Rav Yosef said, that we don't pass it like Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, the Amora, said we don't pass it like the Tana, Rav Yosef. He brought this down in the name of Yehuda or Mishmuel in both the case of the Hilmi and the case of the Lechi. Now, as we mentioned many times, Rav Yosef got sick and forgot a lot of his learning. And we often find Abaye, but sometimes other Talmidim, as we do over here, that would remind Rav Yosef that he had said things differently previously before he got sick. So here now, one of his other Talmidim, Amale Rav Huna Bar Chinana. Rav Huna Bar Chinana says to his Rebbe, Rebbe, Behilmi Amraslan, yes, I remember the Rebbe, you taught us that we don't pass like Rav Yosef by Hilmi. However, Belechion lo Amraslan. But in regards to Lechi, you never in fact taught us that we don't pass like Rav Yosef. And in fact, we do pass like Rav Yosef. Now how come? And in fact, Rav Yosef asks his Talmud, Rav Huna Bar Chinana, how come you're telling me that I said we paskin differently? By Hilmi, we don't paskin Rav Yosef, but by Lechi, we do paskin Rav Yosef. It's a yochid against the Rabbim. Maishno behilmi the pligi rabban olay. How come in Hilmi, it's a yochid against the Rabbim, we paskin like the Rabbim, so Lechi nami, pligi rabban olay. It should be yochid against the Rabbim, and we should paskin like the Rabbim, the Tanakhama is the Chachamim, against Rav Yosef, and you shouldn't require three tvachim. How come you say that I said that we paskin like Rav Yosef in regards to the Lechi? So, Amalei. So his Talmud, Rav Huna Bar Chinan, tells back to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, no, Shiny Lechi, you taught us that Lechi is different. Why? Mishum Dekoy Rebbe Kavosei. Like we had the Gemara earlier, we said that Rebbe holds like Rav Yosef. So it's not a Das Yochid anymore. You now have Rebbe as well as Rav Yosef. So therefore, that's also like a Rabbin. And therefore, we paskin like Rav Yosef in regards to Lechi. That's the first version of this discussion. Rav Ruchumi Masni Hochi. Rav Ruchumi had a slightly different version of the discussion. He said as follows: Am Rav Yehuda Brei de Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei de Rav. Instead, it wasn't Rav Yosef who said this, but it was Rav Yehuda who was the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, and he said this in the name of Rav. Ain halachic Rav Yosef, that we don't pasch like Rav Yosef, neither by Hilmi, lo behilmi, and lo belechion. So we don't pasch like them. So Amrulei, they asked him, did you really say this? Because Rav Ruchumi reported it in the name of Rav Yehuda, Brei Rav Shmuel, Bar Sheiles, and they asked him, did you say this? Amulei Amris? And he said, Amulei Lo. No, I didn't say that. Rav Ruchumi is wrong. Mordechai says, that's not true. Amar Rava, Rava says, Halukim Amra. No, it's a Lashon of Shmuel. I heard him say it myself. Ugemirna Lo Mine. And we learned it from him. So how can you tell me that he didn't say it? So Mordechai says, no, he retracted. Well, my time of Kohadabe, why did he retract? Because Mordechai says, Mishum Rav Yosef Nimuko Imo. He, in fact, paskin here like Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef throughout Shas is considered always a person. He's the one Tana that we paskin like Yochid against the Rabbin on a regular basis, because Rav Yosef was so careful and he was so exact. Nimuko Imo. He was so exact. Rashi says, Tamei Rayosov Mevi Lo B'chol Mokum. He always brought Rayas to support what he was saying. And therefore, this is a praise of Rav Yosef. So therefore, even though he's a Das Yochid, we will often paskin like Rav Yosef against the Rabbim. He's the only one that we paskin Yochid against the Rabbim like the Yochid. So that's why he changed his opinion. Instead of saying we don't paskin like Rav Yosef, he said we do paskin like Rav Yosef because of this famous rule, Rav Yosef, Nimuko Imo. It comes with all these reasons. Finally, Omli Rav Barav Chanun Li Abaye Hilchus Amai. What's the bottom line? How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rav Yosef or not? So Amalei, so Abai tells him the famous rule that we have, Pukhazi, go out and see. My Amad Abai, look and see what the holy Jewish people are doing. Mestama, the holy Jewish people aren't going to be making a mistake as a community, as a whole, individuals do. But the community, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, doesn't let them make a mistake. And therefore, go and see what the community does. And the community allows a lechi to be a thin post, and therefore, we don't possibly, like Rav Yosef, that you require three tefachim. Now, this last statement that we made, Puk Chazi, Mayam Adabar, is used over here, but the Gemara says, Ika Demasi Laha. Some say, Abaye said it in regards to a different discussion. Puk Chazi, Mayam Adabar, in regards to the following discussion. Hashosa Mayam Adsmo, if somebody's taking a glass of water for thirsty purposes, he wants to take a drink. As opposed to, if you're swallowing a pill, where we learn the Gemara in Brachos, that you don't make a bracha. If you're not drinking water, any other liquid, you make a bracha no matter what. But water, if you drink water just to swallow a pill, then you wouldn't make a bracha on it. So here, you're drinking hashosamayim litzmo. You're drinking it because you're thirsty. So the halacha is, Omer, baruchat Hashem, lakim lachlam, shakol, nyevin v'ro. As we know, this is the halacha l'maisa. That's the Tanakama. We have this in Gemara in Brachos. Rabbi Tafrin disagreed. Rabbi Tafrin Omer, bori nefoshos, rabosu chesudon, al komashi brosa. What we use as a bracha achrona, Rabbi Tafrin said, was the bracha rishona for water. How do we paskin? Amalei Rav Chanan Labai, Rav Chanan asked Abai, how do we paskin in this situation? So he paskin as follows, Hilchus Amai, Amalei. So Abai told him, Puk Chazi, my Ama Debar. Go out and see what the people do. People make a shakel. So that's the din. We paskin like the Tanakama to make a shakel, and not like Rabbi Tarfon, that you make a bracha rishona called the Bari Nefashos. No, we also do make, if you drink a revias, we make the bracha achrona, Bari Nefashos. With this, we conclude today's shir.